Happy New Year. This is the day the Lord hath made. Aren't you glad 2021's over? Some guy said, I'm staying up on New Year's Eve. Normally I don't, but I'm staying awake all the way to see if that New Year leaves and make sure that it really leaves. But we've been going through a difficult time. One writer called what we've been going through an epidemic of crazy going on around our world and in America. And it is an epidemic of crazy. I would add a demonic epidemic of crazy that we're going through right now. We have these positive affirmations. We drink our toast. We blow our horns. We wear our hats. And that's cute. That's fun. And that's fine. But it means absolutely nothing unless we change and receive the word of the Lord for our lives. But I'm here to tell you, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. The message that I'm going to give you should not discourage you. It should make you say, I'm going to be honest, there's been some of the last few years that I really haven't had much to say, but I feel very strong to encourage each one of you this morning that the word of the Lord is true, the word of the Lord is good, and you may say, God has forgotten me. He doesn't even know who I am. He doesn't know my name. But God loves you. If it says he sees a sparrow when it falls, how much more will he love you? How much more will he stop and say, I want to bless you with a brand new year? Probably the most profound thing of encouragement that I ever heard to tell somebody, don't be discouraged when you're going through things. This is very profound, and I think it's something you can live by. It said, if God can make a bug's butt light up, think of what he can do for you. Isn't he amazing? Isn't God amazing? If he can make a bug do that, imagine what he can do for you. Do you know that they looked at, they said, look how the lilies, look how the flowers, they're adorned. Look at the sparrows. How much more? I think that's more profound than anything. But a new year changes nothing unless we change. So now the work begins. This morning, I have a prayer for you. I have a prayer to bless you. I have a prayer to encourage you. First off, you need to know that God has not changed. His mercies are new every morning. We sing from the Lamentation Scripture, great is your faithfulness, O Lord. Great is your faithfulness, O God. Lord, have you thanked God in the last 2 days for his faithfulness? I hope you have. I hope you've not forgotten. But we get so overwhelmed and discouraged and weighed down with the food. We think God doesn't care. Well, if he can do things with bugs and flowers and birds, imagine what he can do in each of us right now. One of the great Puritan writers, Thomas Brooks, in the 1600s, wrote this statement. And here's what you need to remind yourself about. As a circle begins everywhere but ends nowhere, so do the mercies of God. So do the mercies of God. We sing, they are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. Great is your faithfulness. So as the circle begins everywhere but ends nowhere, so do the mercies of God. I've only been talking 5 minutes, and I've already lifted your spirits, not from me, not from motivation, but from the word of the Lord today. That's my job. So today I want to read a prayer to you. I want to read a prayer to you that was written by Paul one day. It was probably a prayer that Paul had for God's people. You know, it very easily could have been at a New Year's Eve service 2,035 years ago. It could have been... This could have been the last thing. This could have been the text for one of Paul's New Year's Eve services. And it's in the book of Colossians in the very first chapter. And that guy read this scripture last week in church. And I went, look at this here. And you'll be in this scripture for a while for the next few times. But I'm going to read it first from the Message Bible. And this is a New Year's thought and a prayer that I'm bringing. And I'm going to break it down in a few minutes. But this sets me up. Ready? This is my attitude. I read this on radio with Kenny the other night. Be assured that from the first day we heard of you. Now, Paul is speaking to the church in Colossae. This was one of the epistles that he wrote in a jail. I'm actually going to tell you more about it next week. In fact, you need to know, Paul very likely never even visited this church. Okay? He likely never even visited this church. He said, but from the first day we heard of you, they're going to hear about you. We haven't stopped praying for you. We've been asking God to give you wise minds and spirits attuned to his will so that you will acquire a thorough understanding of the ways in which God works. Great opening, isn't it? We pray that you will live well for the master, making him proud of you as you work hard in his orchard. As you learn more and more how God works, you will learn how to do your work. And we pray that you will have the strength to stick it out over the long haul, not the grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength God gives. And I love this word. He says, it is strength that endures the unendurable. Is that powerful? And it spills over. Now, the spillover is kind of fun, isn't it? The spillover is God's a spillover kind of God. As Oral used to preach, he's a net-breaking, boat-sinking God. He gives you more than you can carry. That spills over into joy, thanking the Father who makes us strong enough to take part in everything bright and beautiful that he has for us. How's that for a word for a brand new year? And notice the last part. God rescued us from dead end alleys and dark dungeons. Any of y'all been rescued from dark alleys and dark dungeons? Have you been turned from a dead end? Certainly, we all have. I love the verbiage here. He set us up in the kingdom of his Son. He loves us so much. His Son, who got us out of the pit we were in, got rid of the sins we were doomed to keep repeating. Happy New Year. But in spite of resolutions, in spite of affirmations, in spite of toast, in spite of happy songs, we still need something more. It's called the power of God. It's called the power of God. Don't be ashamed to talk about the power of God. It's real. It's the power of God that brings salvation to people right now. But it's very difficult. That's the wrong word. It's very easy to get down and dour and discouraged, not only by what we see and hear and feel, but by the conflict we feel in our spirits of what we know the Word says. Does that make sense to you? It's easy if you just take it at that, but it really is upsetting to me when I see vividly how it violates what the Word of God says. It makes some of you are uncomfortable right now out of fear. You're uncomfortable right now because the God Spirit in you is at war with things you're seeing and conflicting and coming at your mind, and you need to be aware of that right now. See, we're living in a time right now where we need God more than ever, and we're in an awful fight. You're talking optimism, but no, you're in a fight. One writer wrote it this way. He said, we're currently seeing the intentional destruction of the family unit. We're seeing an attack on masculinity and femininity. By the way, anything that breaks down, watch the commercials, watch the sitcoms. The dad's the dope, dad's the shiftless one, dad's the one that's goofy, the joke's on him, or he's crazy. If there is a dad there, you know, that's what you're seeing right now. And we watched a television show the other night, and this guy comes flying on the screen, and I'm supposed to accept this thing here, you know, and he looks like a youth pastor today, and I'm thinking, you know, you don't need to do that, but that's got to be in my face. How many of you? I'd like to just see a commercial one time where there's a real mom and a real dad. Let's just do it like that. But there's a war going on right there, and anything that looks, but see. Don't fall for it. Please don't fall. But it's so sweet. Here's what's going on. It's trying to disarm you. It's trying to disarm the way you feel. Not only the way you feel, but what you know, what the word of the Lord says in your heart. And that's why there is a war going on right now. He said, we're currently at a time where there's the intentional destruction of the family unit, an attack on masculinity and femininity. Also bringing the concept of isolation and fear-mongering. The isolation of the last year and a half is not an accident. That is intentional. That is intentional right now. That is an intentional thing that is going. The isolation. What happens? You are alone. You start questioning things you would never question before. You are walking in fear. You start acting in a way, and there's a mass psychosis that's been going on, and it's intentional right now of what it is. The isolation and fear monitoring, removing us from nature. Go on. I noticed in Canada they showed one of the public playgrounds there where the kids go play hockey all the time on the public playground, and they took the nets and they taped them all together so children can't be outside. If they'd have told you to go out a year and a half ago, go out and walk a half a mile a day and walk out in the sunshine, you wouldn't be and we wouldn't be here. But they can't make any money on that. You know that. Mike, stop. Back off. They've removed us from nature. They're packing us in cities. Our foods are poison. The air's poison. They're pretty much on course right now. It looks like they're winning. In fact, many are calling what a great reset. I've befriended through social media a man by the name of Michael Rechtenwald. Michael Rechtenwald was a very strong professor in one of the high-end universities. In fact, he was called the liberal prof. And he started actually using his brain he's written some very interesting books. He's been sick the last few weeks, and I've written him words of encouragement in Isaiah 53 prayers right now. And there are things going on. You're seeing this intentional stuff going. So why are you saying this? Well, it's hard to be optimistic when you know these things are going. But I'm telling you, the word will stand. The church will stand. The people of God will stand. And not only stand, they will withstand all of it. Michael, and there's a lot of things. I'm not going to go too deep in this with you because it's a rabbit hole at times for some folks. But there's a concept to reset our society right now. Right now, our country has actually been taken over by globalists. They want to take away your rights. They want to give away property of yours. They want to create a vast underclass, a serf class without property rights or prospects. And they're using a very real problem as the pretext. Now, there's a real problem there, but it's not about the way they're dealing with it. Pray for Michael Rechtenwald. God is using him, and way back in his past, there was somebody that knew the word of the Lord, and Michael is a man of God, and he doesn't know it yet. The days of challenge are here. More challenges are lying ahead. Often when I'm giving positive New Year words and we're singing the songs, we are feeling more melancholy than motivated. You got that? How many of you felt, and you felt more melancholy than motivated? Why? Because not only do you see what's going on, but in your spirit, that's at war with what God says to you. We can hear the clock ticking in our hearts. And by the way, regardless of what Mick Jagger says, time is not on our side. Time is not on our side. Although Keith Richards is a medical miracle, I don't understand how he's still alive there and healthy people. But time is not on our side. Time is ticking. I'll tell you how well. It's going so fast. Let me talk about the perspective of me. The guy wrote this down and it fit me perfect. He said, when people talk about 30 years ago, I think they mean the 1970s. But actually they mean 1991. And he said, now I need to go lie down, he said. How many of you understand? How many of you, when they say 30 years ago, you think the 70s? We think the 70s, but it's 1991. That's scary. That's why you got to go lay down. Time is a relentless taskmaster. Time dictates everything. Now, you might know the 23rd Psalm, but you can finish this line. As sands in the hourglass, so are the days of our lives. The only way you can make up for lost time is to start right now. We're still in an awful fight. Nothing has changed. A reset is going on, an attack on our rights to worship, an attack on our rights to praise. If I told you some of the stuff that's been sent to me and computer guy for years, I mean, when they are studying brains of people that are religious people, they're studying brains of religious people, and it's been going on since the early 2000s to see the difference of a person that is a strongly religious, active person, and they've done brain waves on them. And one of the questions in 2005 was, perhaps we could get some sort of vaccination done on them to lower this so it'll calm them all down and they won't get excited about those things and we can control them. And actually out of the mouth of Computer Boy, I showed it to her. Oh, yes, it's awful. But I believe Paul's words. One of the great gospel singers, Dottie Peoples, said, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Here's what I got for you. You ready? You ready for these five words? I'm talking to you today about strength that endures the unendurable. Strength, I read that a few minutes ago. It's strength that endures the unendurable. That's what this word of God is. Strength to endure that which seems unendurable. Have any of you been weary and sick and tired and overwhelmed and you just didn't think you were going to make it? But he gives you the strength to endure, the strength to go on, the strength to get up and keep going, the strength to not be afraid. Even after loss, he's given me the strength to endure these things. That is a New Year prayer. Therefore, I'm not living in prayer, but at the same time, I'm not stupid either. This is what I wrote. Realize in our daily walk, there are always going to be a decision to make. Decisions every day. Decisions that affect heaven and earth, not only heaven, but ourselves. Better said, both in your spirit man and in your flesh man, decisions will be made. Billy Graham's great ministry for so many years on radio was called the Hour of Decision. The Hour of Decision. And there is always an hour of decision. So with all the reports you're seeing today, you have a decision to make. Is it going to overwhelm you? Are you going to be able to make it? Or are you going to grab the strength that helps you endure that which seems unendurable right now? There will always be an hour of decision. And most of the time, it's not pleasant because time does dictate. Time dictates. And so do circumstances. The question is, what will you do? More than most New Year's, I found a lot of people feeling more bittersweet, knowing that decisions and the passages they're going through right now, the great losses we've gone through, the doors closing or doors opening, we are in a special space. And whenever we're at a point where we're feeling overwhelmed and hit from all sides, we need to, Lord, give me the strength that helps me to endure that which is unendurable. But you need to realize that when you are pressed, when you are discouraged, when you're overwhelmed, that is a spot, that is a moment that God is giving you to make the decision that will help move you further on, a little bit further. I said, a new year means nothing unless we make a special new move. What are we going to learn in our difficult times? What will we do as a result of the squeeze? What will we do as a result of the oppression? We have to channel those things, and we must, these challenges and these difficulties, we must channel them. We must point them. You know, scholars that have understood the real truth of how our minds work and understanding how God made us. Viktor Frankl wrote this. He said, between stimulus and response, there's a space. Stop right there. Between something that comes, there is a space. Between stimulus, and there's something here in the middle. And in that space lies our power to choose our response. And in our response lies our growth and our freedom. But let me add, it adds our demise also. It can add our defeat if our response is not good when we are going through these difficult times. If we are going through these times and we don't use these times to love God, to honor God, and to get strong, we're just going through bad times. Some crazy preacher was on some social media not long ago, and he was preaching some of the weirdest stuff you've ever heard in your life, that's against the family, that's against masculinity, and it was all kind of things there, and with the robes on, and they were giving it personal treatment. And I just simply wrote on the bottom of crazy thinking wrapped in ecclesiastical robes is just crazy things. It means nothing. So when you get hit, you've been hit with something, there's a middle point. You got to say, Lord, what's going to be my response here? What am I going to do? I've heard this. I'm frightened all this. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to be overwhelmed or not? I think this is really good. And this is really what the whole word's about. Some may ask, I've seen actors, and you've read the stories. The actor says, well, what is my motivation? What is my motivation? Now, how should I be when I'm playing this scene? What's my motivation here? What has happened? Explain this to me, because a lot of times they make movies out of sequence. What is my motivation here? I think we need to ask ourselves that sometime. What's our motivation? What's our response? The motivation is not the proper word. The proper word is what will my response be? So let the struggle challenge you. Why? Because the scripture is full of people, good people like you and people like me, who went through challenges and they made a response and it changed their life. Moses got tired of the Egyptians beating his people. You saw what happened. David got tired of his sin. You saw what happened. Four lepers got tired of keeping the blessings to themselves. You know what happened. The prodigal got tired of eating with the pigs. You know what happened. Zacchaeus got tired of his cheating ways. You know what happened. The woman at the well got tired of being thirsty. The list goes on and on and on. And maybe you're at a spot right now where you're overwhelmed. What are you going to do with it? That's here. What are you going to do in the middle? And what's your response going to be to God? Dan Rockwell, a great Christian man who's a great motivational speaker, he said, dissatisfaction serves you well when it drives you into the future. So during dissatisfied times and difficult times in your life, decide that you're going to go the way of the word. What's the word say? What's the word going? That's when you decide, when you are overwhelmed right now. All of these difficult circumstances I mentioned, stimulated in action, All of these instances stimulated a response, and all these actions eventually created a blessing. Every one of those Bible characters. How many stories have we heard about people who have done brave and bold things because of one of those moments? One of those moments. There may be something, you might create something this year. You might invent something this year. Maybe you see a special need. Well, you look at those things and you watch. I get stuck on those infomercials. I got a confession to make. I got a problem. I don't go to bad places, but I do have a problem with one thing. It stops me every time, and I have to take it in. You know when you go through the drugstore and there's a little shelf over there and there's a red sign with white letters and big thick letters, and they've got products there, and it says as seen on TV. I got to stop every time. I'm reasonably intelligent. I know most of that's not going to work. I know it. I know I've bought it. I know it's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going. Isn't that amazing? No, it doesn't work. No, and you got to decide. You got, maybe there's something you got an idea about. Maybe it's a business thing. Maybe it's a concept. Maybe God will use that right now. The greatest example of someone taking something that was very, very bad and turned it into something that blessed people was our Father God, who got tired of the hold that Satan had on his creation. He got tired. He tried to demean his creation. He tried to discredit his creation. He tried to destroy it, but there was a point in time where Father God said, that's enough. That's enough. He had had enough. Therefore, he did something about it. He sent his own son to take care of business. That awful experience that we read about was the motivation that God had for us. How do you know that? His response was the home run ball that brought us life evermore. How do you know that's the truth? Because John told me that God loved me and God loved you so much, and he got so ticked off at hell trying to destroy you, he sent his son to die for you and for me, to shed his blood that we might have the removal of sin in our lives. He sent his son because he loved us, so that we would not perish and we would have everlasting life. So right now, what's going to be your motivation as you go into a new year? We're all tired of a few things. We got to be very strategic. We have to be judicious. We have to be smart. We have to have Holy Spirit discernment. Have your discernment radar turned on at high level right now. What's going to motivate you? And by the way, don't worry about the behind stuff. You can't change it. You can't change it. The wonderful John Wooden. I love John Wooden. What a role model he was. He said, don't let yesterday take up too much of today. Don't let yesterday take too much of today. Oh, that's just little simple things. Try it. Just dare to try it. Now, you can't just make an affirmation. You have to put something in its place, okay? This is not some believism. This is not some I think I can scripture. No, it is the word that as a man thinks, so is he. But the man has to get busy. The man has to do certain things there. So using the same passage that I opened with, but using a different version, I come back to the scripture that's been in my face for weeks and weeks right now. I want to give you 7 prayer points to send you to a brand new year. And we're going to read it together. They won't be numbered, but I'll point them out to you in the scripture right now. It's from Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. I'm in the NIV. These are my prayer points for you today and how I'm praying for you, I promised. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually, and this is my prayer, I'm piggybacking on Paul's prayer. We continually ask God, now here's the first one, here's the first thing I'm praying about, to fill you, or I'd say you all, with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and through all understanding that his spirit gives. That's the first thing I'm praying for you about. I told you I'd give you 7 things. I am praying right now that he would fill you with the knowledge of his will. The second thing, so that you may, number 2, live worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Stop right there. Isn't that a testimony that you live worthy of the Lord? You live worthy of the Lord and please him. We talked about pleasing God a few weeks ago. We realize without faith we can't please God. But as we live each day, we can please God. We know those things that would please God. So my second prayer for you today is that you would live your life in such a way. You're not being overwhelmed. You're not being taken out of the game because you're fearful or discouraged. You got to be careful. You watch what's being thrown at you. That you would live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him every day. Why? So that we can pat you on the back? No. The third line of prayer for you, the third blessing upon you, that you would bear fruit in every good work. That you'll be productive. That something will come forth, that you will have something that is birthed in you. And notice that comes after that you be filled with knowledge. That comes after that it says that you should live a life that's worthy of God. Then you bear fruit. How many people want the affirmation? They want a Holy Spirit thing on New Year's Day. You're going to bear fruit. You're going to bear fruit. No, you're no different when December 31st comes around because you have not been filled with the knowledge of His will through wisdom and understanding that the Holy Spirit. We've not lived a life that's pleasing unto God. Here's the mark on the wall, my fourth statement of my prayer for you for the brand new year, that you would grow in the knowledge of God. That you would grow in the knowledge of God. I'm giving you seven things. Seven things. The NIV broke it down for me the best. Seven things that you would grow in the knowledge of God. In other words, when we get to December 31st, that mark that you made on the wall on January 2 needs to be up here. You got it? That mark, you know, where you measured every kid we did, that needs to move up there. And the fifth thing I want to say to you, that you may be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. This is not something you got to think up in your brain, but the strength will come to you according to His glorious might, so you might have great endurance and patience. That was the lift out that I used a few minutes ago, that He gives us the ability to endure the unendurable. And then number six, then I want you to be able to give thanks to the Father. Give thanks who has equipped you, that makes you worthy, that makes you capable, that makes you competent. Notice the progression here. It is a line upon line. To keep it for yourself, the number seven prayer, that what God has done for you, that you would share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. Here's why. Here's why there's a happy new year. Verse 13. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. He has brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have, watch this, we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. I think you need to apologize to God right now if you've been more melancholy than motivated the last 24 hours. Because you have redemption and you have the forgiveness of sin. Focus on that. Well, I don't have anything. I've got it terrible. Do you have forgiveness? Yes. Do you have? Have you been redeemed from your sins? Have you been forgiven? Are you a child of God? Why don't you start focusing on that? One of the great, great writers. He lived into the 1900s. Some deep writings. Arthur W. Pink. He said, a brother recently asked me, what was the best way to overcome a coldness of heart and a bound spirit when he tried to pray? I told him to begin praising the Lord as soon as he dropped on his knees. And if he could think of nothing else, to commence by thanking Him that he was not already in hell. How many of you know that's user friendly? That's Dale Carnegie for you, boy. They won't be preaching that in McChurch today. No, I don't have anything to just thank Him you're not in hell already right now, because that's where we're all going to end up if we reject the word. Be encouraged today. I don't have anything to start there. Start there that you have been given redemption and the forgiveness of sins. So my prayer for you, it's more important, and this is the prayer for us. Don't be afraid to tell it to Jesus. Why? I'm overwhelmed. Remember this. Remember what Paul said. All right, to fill you with knowledge, that you live worthy of Him, that you'd bear fruit, you'd grow in the knowledge of God, you'd be strengthened, you'd give joyful thanks, and then you would just share that word. You remember all of that? Understand that He gives you strength to endure the unendurable. Strength that endures the unendurable. You know, we're told to focus our faith towards God, and that goes for our thoughts and our dreams and our words and our feelings. Focus all of that toward Him right now. You're overwhelmed. Focus at Him. Lord, I need You. And I'm praying for you like Paul prayed for you today. I'm in here to encourage you. Melancholy over motivation? No, we need the Holy Spirit to move our lives. I'm praying for you today. Heaven's grandstands, the saints are cheering for you today in a brand new year. Jesus Christ is interceding before the Father for you right now. The Holy Spirit is furnishing the impetus, the energy, and the ability so that you can have strength to endure the unendurable. I know I've used a lot of quotes today because I think it's apropos for what we're saying today, and I believe it's the word of the Lord right now. You know, sometimes you just got to get that don't quit inside of you. You just got to get that don't stop. One of the great theologians, Dale Earnhardt Jr., said it this way. The winner ain't the one with the fastest car. The winner's the one who refuses to lose. And you need to have that thing right there, and you can endure the unendurable. If you say, if it kills me and grandma, I'm not going to stop right now. You've got to go through it. You've got to do it. You can do it in Jesus' name right now. Well, how do you know you've won? You just keep racking up points. Keep racking up points. Other great theologian who went on to heaven this week said it even better than this week. If you score more points than the other team, you win. So you are going to score more points than the evil team. You're going to score more points than the demonic things at war. You're going to score more points. You're going to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of God. You're going to score more. You're going to refuse to lose in 22. I didn't mean to do that. It's like Jesse Jackson right there. You can refuse to lose in 22 with some good rhymes. You know, the rest, regardless of the circumstance, can be our motivation and our mission for a brand new year when we target those things to God. Last Sunday morning, we stood at Eagle Mountain Church. I want you to tune in, listen, lean in. I'm overwhelmed by the song that I tell Lynn I want us to sing. Then the guy gets up and reads the scripture I'm going to use. I'm going to use it again next week, but it's going to be a whole bunch bigger than this. And then the word of the Lord came, and I went, they need to hear that too. And I looked at her. I said, we're going to take that home, and you're going to do that. This message isn't over. Come on, baby.
Amen. Y'all appreciate that word. I tell you, listen intently. Last week, we went to the church. Terry Pearson is Kenneth Copeland's oldest daughter, and she has a very real prophetic mantle on her. And she's written several books. Her subject, you know, many times pastors are known for certain things. Hers is prayer. And so she got up last Sunday, and, man, I mean, it was electric. And so I'm just going to read it, and then I'll tell you some of the things that I feel like the Lord has impressed upon me. She read a very obscure book of the Old Testament, the book of Amos, chapter 3, verses 7 through 8. Now, you might have heard some things in Amos that, you know, how can two walk together except they be agreed? We've all heard that. That's in Amos. But anyway, it was an obscure verse, but it's very pertinent to what we've been saying and all along. And I want to recount something, too, before I even get started on that. Me and Michael have been walking with the Lord our entire life. All right, we didn't just start with this. Our testimony is God saved us. I was 8 years old. He was born into the church, okay? And filled me with the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues at 8 years old above a little small room that my mom and dad were downstairs in choir and orchestra practice of maybe five people in the orchestra and about maybe 15 in the choir. We have given and devoted our life to this word and to hearing the voice of God. We love God's people. We love his church. We love what he is doing. Have we lived everything perfectly? No. Sometimes Linda and Michael get involved, sometimes personally, in certain things that later we look back on that God has said, now, you see, you should have listened to me and not done that. We all do that. None of God's prophets are perfect. None of God's ministers are perfect. But people who have a heart that seeks the Lord is worthy of hearing. When Michael started in 2019, he said, I'm going to go back and teach the word, and I'm going to start in Genesis. I thought, oh, that's a great idea. I love studying. Okay, it just give me the time that I can sit down and study and read. I love it. So he starts, and I want you to remember this. Remember when He gets all through 2019. 2020 comes. We're still in the Old Testament. He comes up to the very week that we had to, that we were instructed by the government that the churches were to give a month recess from assembling. Remember that? Do you know what he was supposed to speak that week? It was on the plagues. It was on the plagues of Egypt. Now, he could have ended, he could have been anywhere in the Bible, but that's where he was. And the reason why I wanted to just remind you of that is because God speaks to his servants. He does, but he also speaks to you. And that is the one thing that we have been big about, is teaching you to hear the voice of the Lord. Because no one can hear the voice of the Lord for your life like you, because God is a personal God. He does not need any advocates in between. And so we are, his word was to you, to teach you what the Lord, word of the Lord is. So Terry got up last week in Amos chapter 3, 7 through 8. It says, surely the Lord God will do nothing without revealing his secrets to his servants, the prophets. The lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? So she began to say, so we will speak today. So I want to give you a little background. If you go back today, which I encourage you to do, and read chapter 3, Amos did not sign up for this job. Amos was a sheep breeder and shepherd. He was also a tender of the sycamore tree. He did not sign up to be the most hated person in Judah to be able to give the word of the Lord, because we all know people don't want to hear what they can't do or what they are doing wrong. And so he's out there, and the word of the Lord comes, and it says, and he's prophesying. He says, hear this word that the Lord has spoken. And he starts on trying to make the argument for God and why you should listen to him. And I'm telling you, he goes through all the things that back in that day in particular, but even today, we would recognize as, of course, we understand that this happens, this is the consequence. And so he's saying, the lion has roared, who will fear? Now, she goes on to say, regarding 2022, now we charge into this new year. Notice that word. We charge into this new year. With 2020 and 2021 under our belt, we are armed and ready. Well, those are fighting words for me. All right, some of us just have that thing inside of us, and I promise you, I sometimes wish I didn't have it, but I'm a fighter. I am a fighter, and I have to learn sometimes to sit down and not fight, because God's not always fighting. And so when she said armed and ready, I was given the word of the Lord many years ago. There's two scriptures you should go back and look at. 2 Samuel 22:40 is where it's first recorded. 2 Samuel 22:40. It says, it's David talking. You have armed me with strength for the battle. Now, I want every one of us to record and memorize this. Yes, let's stand up. I want everybody to repeat that. You have armed me with strength for the battle. That's 2 Samuel. Let's do it again. You have armed me with strength for the battle. In Psalm 18:32, David again records it in Psalm 18:32. He says, it is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. Now, perfect to God sometimes looks different than perfect to me. But all I can tell you is you either have to learn that you're going to trust to try to save yourself, or you're going to trust in God, because he can save you. It's what Micah was preaching today. He's the only one that can save us. So she says, we are armed and ready. I said, hallelujah. I know that scripture. I know that. I know the outcomes of that. Michael talked about it and gave you a couple of examples. She said, we came through the fiery furnace victorious. I started laughing. How many weeks did we spend in Daniel? And it says, now the tables are turned and sickness, fear, and apathy are going. The devil and this, I thought this was cute. The devil has done poked the bear, and here it comes. And the lion of the tribe of Judah has loosed a mighty roar. A mighty roar. A mighty roar. And I'm telling you, salvation is nigh thee, even in your mouth. I'm telling you, that's in Romans. It talks about the word of faith that we preach. And I'm telling you, the word that Lynn sang, and I'm going to tell you something else. The high praises of God in your mouth, coming out, is the deliverance. It is the tabernacle of David. It is the secret to every person who has ever walked in the victory of God. And so when Lynn got up this morning and she sang that song, that second song, I started laughing when I was noticing, I'd never noticed it before, that after part when she would sing and then we would sing louder than our unbelief. Remember when you sang that? And I said, hey, that's the last thing I want to do. When I got unbelief, my thing is I want to sit down and think and cry about it and pout to God. And it's saying, no, you're going to sing a little louder in the presence of your enemies. You're going to sing a little louder in the presence of your unbelief. Why? Because your weapon is a melody. And I'm telling you, that was David's method. That was his method. There was no great theological thing that he needed. He just needed the melody of the heart of the word of the Lord in his mouth that sang out, that defeated every enemy. The only thing that he never defeated at one point, he did finally, but was his own flesh that he was deceived on. And I'm telling you, that is where we have to understand. Be encouraged, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and you will walk in victory in this year. Amen.
So therefore, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord grant you peace in Jesus' name. And everybody said, yeah, loud. Yeah.